right, time for I've been thinking, and there's a couple of good ones this afternoon, because you are newish to the panel, Sam, why don't you start?
Oh, thanks. I had the privilege last night to go to the premiere of When a City Rises, which is the sequel movie to When a City Falls by the fabulous Gerard Smythe in Christchurch. It's a documentary that's really followed the rebuild of our great city over the past 10 years. If you get a chance to see it, it's worth it. The movie takes a pointed and direct attack at the sort of bureaucratic and Wellington-centric approach of the Christchurch rebuild, and of course a lot of politics in there as well. But a couple of the interesting things, you know, the town hall features centrally, which was initially mapped for complete demolition by the recovery agency, and it was fought against and won, and now it's been restored. But it's a heavy, scene after scene of the countless buildings that were quickly destroyed, and it was actually pretty difficult to stomach. Mm. And ironically, the only anchor project that was finished was completely managed by the City Council, and they've built the Tauranga Library on time and in budget. And so we're still waiting for the other ones.
And isn't that a building? It's beautiful.
Oh, it's stunning. It's stunning. And then, of course, you've got the convention centre's nearly finished and they're starting on the stadium. But lots of jokes were made at the panel after the movie around what are we going to do with the convention centre? Is it going to be used for housing in the central city or perhaps for a zoo or something? For me, it's just that, we've some important lessons there on the power our central agencies have over cities. And number one takeaway from me was that actually city rebuilding takes closer to 30 years in New Zealand speed, not 10. And we all thought it was going to be 10, but it's actually 30.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. So that is When a City Rises. Was it a reminder too of, well, what you've gained and what you've lost? It's interesting you mentioned that it revolved around the iconic town hall, because I can recall the outrage at the proposed demolition. But look at it now.
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. And I think all the buildings that have been built are. The movie kind of goes into some technical details about how only certain big projects were enabled to be consented in the central city after a while. So you lost a lot of the nuance in the smaller projects, which are actually so important that carry people through the rough times.
Just before, because we've got a bit of time, as one of the people amongst many who have really weaved their story into the Christchurch story as the founder of the Student Volunteer Army, what sort of place is Christchurch in now as a city?
Well, in general, Wallace, I love it. I live in the central city, and I think many others are trying to live here as well. And it's really going to be a go-ahead place, and it already is. The vibrancy is coming back, and people have a great time here. But I think there's still a bit of a hangover from the earthquake. But every year, it just gets better and better. And so I'm a complete optimist about it, and the buildings and the culture and the nightlife and everything, all of that's coming back, and it's actually come back kind of beautifully, actually. Yeah. So I love Christchurch, and I think it's a great place. So come down and visit us and have a look. And I guess there's still that culture in Christchurch, which is so important, of being able to make something happen. It's small enough that if you've got an idea, you can make it happen. And that's such an important thing that was after the earthquakes. That still exists. Good.
Sam Johnson there. All right, I've been thinking. Ruth Money.
Okay, well, I've been thinking, private victim advocate and all, about the rights of victims within media coverage. And I've talked about this time and time again, and I am going to beat my drum. So 2 weeks ago, there was a program on TV1 called Friend to the Friendless. It was made out to be about Greg King. It absolutely was not. It was a dramatised version of the murder of Scott Guy. Now, that cost the taxpayers over $1 million. New Zealand on Air get about $60 million, so it cost $1 million of their budget for so-called factual documentaries. It was made completely unauthorised by Scott's widow, Kylie, and she and the children are still traumatised by it. 2 weeks on, we tried to stop it legally, and they tried to package it up as a Greg King tribute. And I knew Greg King. I worked with him. He was a mountain of a man, so much mana, so much pro bono work. He was way more than that case. So even to do that is completely disrespectful to him and also
so
Scotty.
But you would have endorsed, because I'll come back to you and say, How can you then portray a person like Greg King without including some of his major cases?
You absolutely should have included lots of cases, not just heroed one case where you have a dramatised version of a daddy and an unsolved murder driving down a driveway. Just horrific. No good has come from this program. There is $1 million being sunk, plus advertisers' costs, when we have got people hungry, people who need education, people who need dental care, Christchurch that needs rebuilding.
But you also need to honour people like Greg King.
Yeah, so if you're going to honour Greg King, you do a documentary about Greg King and you cover all the pro bono work he did for victims. You cover more than one case, and you certainly engage with that person's family and give them the respect that they deserve. You don't expect their children to go to school the next day and be bombarded by everyone saying, oh, I saw your daddy get shot 10 times over during an hour on TV. Terrible.
All right.